We could think it's strange, couldn't we? That here we are, we're singing about someone being killed. We're singing about blood being shed. You think, ooh, that's a bit gory and stuff. But we've got a difference in our God, haven't we? The other gods require blood sacrifice. And they keep on requiring, they keep on requiring, they keep on requiring. And this evil comes in. But our God, one sacrifice, Jesus, that was enough. And it's through his blood that we're cleansed. You think, how is that possible? Blood stains. No, it's the wonder working power of the blood of Jesus that releases us. That releases us, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. And thank you, Jesus, that we're learning more and more how to apply, how to appropriate the blood of Jesus and all the benefits that the blood brings to us. Thank you, Lord. Last week, I'm going to move forward.
Sorry, I'll put the light a bit up.
So I can see. I know quite a bit of it, but I still need to read it. Keep on track. Yeah, last week I was talking about being a watchman. And our initial response to that is, well, we're looking out for others. That's very good, in part. But it's not what Jesus said, is it? Remember we looked at Luke 6 in the Passion, I read it from. Why do you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws of your own life? How could you say to your friend, here, let me show you where you're wrong, when you are guilty of even more than he is? You are merely critical, splitting hairs, and being a hypocrite. You must acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them before you will be able to deal with the blind spot of your friends. Planks and spelks, that's what the other versions put it down to, isn't it? But it's blind spots there. We need to be clear ourselves before we can help others. You could say, well, oh, that's selfish. That's not Christian. We're called to look out for others. Yes, we are. But we need to be in the right place ourselves. I was listening to a song at the prayer meeting on Thursday night, and one of the lines was, whatever you want, we are ready for you. Whatever you want, God, we're ready for you. Can we say yes to that? Whatever you want, whatever you want, God, we're ready to do it. When we look at, can we look at Mark 13? And in Mark 13, one of the Bibles has healing, exhortation to watch. That's the heading, sorry. Exhortation to watch. In verse 32, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each one and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the home is coming, in the evening or at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Four times in that short three, four, or five verses, Jesus says, watch. But the last one, so remember, he's talking to his disciples, but he's saying, and I say to you, I say to all. That's to every single one of us. Jesus is saying, watch. The New American Standard puts it in, be on the alert. Be on the alert. And the footnote puts it, the entire 13th chapter of Mark tells us how to live while we wait for Christ's return. We are not to be misled by confusing claims of speculative interpretation of what will happen. We should not be afraid to tell people about Christ, despite what they may say or do to us. We must stand firm by faith and not be surprised by persecution. We must be morally alert, obedient to the commands of living found in God's word. This chapter was not given to promote discussions on prophetic timetables, but to stimulate right living for God in a world where he is largely ignored. You know, living in a world that where Jesus or where God is largely ignored. I think we can identify with that, can't we? As we've got people all around us. But Jesus was telling us to be alert and to be on our guard in two ways. Firstly, he said, watch. Stay awake and look for approaching danger. And he said, pray. We need to recognize our constant need of divine assistance. We can't do it on our own. We don't have enough resource within ourselves to understand what's happening, to recognize all the spiritual dangers that can come and surprise us. Remember, it tells us that the devil's prowling around like a lion, waiting for who he can devour. He's ready to spring at any time, and that when we least expect it, when things are going right, sometimes he can just pounce and drop a bombshell. Yeah. God will warn us, though. If we pay attention, if we listen to him, we'll keep asking him. He's going to warn us. Last week we saw Jesus said in Mark 14, watch and pray. Again, Jesus is saying, watch and pray to all. There's no exceptions. There's no cop-out. It's for each one of us to be watching and praying. We're meant to be knowing the signs of the times. We're meant to be anticipating. Because God tells us, you know, whatever he's going to do, he's going to let us know. Whatever's going to happen, he's going to let us know. Do you not perceive it before it springs forth? In 1 Peter 5, we're told to submit to God and resist the devil. I'll just get it. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time, in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around, as you said it, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Jesus, or Peter is telling us here to be alert, to be vigilant, to be awake. The ESV version says, be sober-minded, be watchful. The thief, the enemy, Satan, or his followers all the demonic followers are coming to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy what they, when they can, and whoever they can. We're told to watch out. Satan is against the people of faith. But through faith, we can resist him. As we resist to God, he must flee. Note that word flee. It doesn't mean saunter away. It means flee. Get out of the way very, very quickly. We can rebuke him and we can rout him. So he flees and releases us from his hold. I just want to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4. This section keeps coming up in so many different places and different ways, but I just want to actually look at it in regard to watchmen. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was, when the Jews who dwell near them came, that they told us 10 times, "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall, set at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose. And said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears and the swords, the bows, and wore armor. And they carried on building the wall. When you look at that, they've got all those different people that are coming against them. But what else is coming against them? We see in verse 10, "The strength of the laborers is failing." Tiredness was creeping in. Fatigue. There was doubt creeping in. And then we see in verse 11, we've got rumors, threats, accusations. They'll come into our midst and they'll cause the work to stop and they'll kill us. Yeah. You've got that coming against them, the threat coming against them. In verse 12, we've got discouragement coming to them. "So it was when the Jews who dwell near them came that they told us 10 times. That's a lot of times that people, their own people, are coming in and pouring doom and gloom. They're putting discouragement in the way. They're telling us we're going to get beaten, they're going to come in and going to kill us. It's a bit like putting telly on, isn't it? And watching the news. How many times a day do we get discouragement beamed across the airwaves, putting in, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, another's going to happen. What's the latest speculation about we've got to be short for because, you know, wagon drivers? You know, and it's all, the petrol crisis seems to have actually paled into insignificance now.
the wagon drivers. Do you want a job? £4,000 a month. Driving the wagon now. That's what they're talking. If you want to do that. Yeah. Just till Christmas, though. Just till Christmas, till the pressure's over, because they, you know, they reckon we're going to be short. All these different things they're putting in. Why can't we just let things roll out? But this is discouragement, which the people here of Nehemiah's time, they were getting them. 10 times they're going to come and kill us. The fear is building. But God and his man and his plan. Nehemiah says, therefore, I position men behind the lower parts of the wall, of the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. He's very clever. When are you going to fight best? When it's for your own family. So he puts them all together in family groupings, so they'll fight for each other accordingly. And it says they've got their weapons with them. They're not in some guard room somewhere. The weapons are with them. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It's a bit like a football manager at the start of the pitch of a game, isn't it? Encourage them. We've got the talk here. You know, come on. But remember, our God is great. And what happens? The enemy is defeated. They're discouraged and they back off. Nehemiah said, watch, and they prayed. Where did they put the guards? Behind the lower parts in the openings. The weakest places. Where the wall was the lowest, they put people. Where the wall was broken, they put people. At the weak points. Because they could identify the weak spots in the wall where the enemy would come through. That's where the attack comes from, the weak spots. What are your weak spots? Each of us knows our vulnerable place or vulnerable places. Each of us can know the gaps. We might not admit it to anybody else, but we've got to be real and admit it to ourselves. God knows them already. So if we admit them to him, there's no shame in that. Yeah. The chink in the armor. We think we're really strong, but that's just that one spot that can be touched, that can take us whizzing back to where we were when we were kids, or where we were with the last place we were hurt. The defense mechanisms start piling in again. You know, what's our vulnerable place? What's our weakest spot? Where are the weakest spots? Perhaps that where the plank blurs or obscures our vision. When we can't see what's before us. When we don't realize what we are doing because we can't see it. That's where we need divine intervention. For God to tell us, that's a plank you've got. Your vision is obscured. You're not seeing that clearly. Father, we want to be right with you. And we're asking you to guide us and help us to see what needs to be removed and dealt with, so we can see clearly and move on into the next phase that you've got for us. Not just looking after ourselves, but looking after others. Because Father, that's the desire of our hearts. We being right with you so we can help others. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to watch something now.
never seen the natural eye. A great event is being prepared. A war and a wedding feast will have their place in time. Soon and not yet is the word that the watchman gives as he strains his eyes through the darkness of the night mist. He can sense that just beyond the horizon, a great brightness is preparing to break forth. Arise, you sleepers! Shake off your slumber, he calls. Come and fill your lamp with fresh oil. Trim your wick. Cry out in the streets and do not let your voice be silent. For the coming of the great king is at hand. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Only wait for the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. And wait for the Lord.
See that salvation comes.
watchmen out of every nation. Raise up those who will stand unafraid in the night hour, who will give no sleep to their eyes. No peace or rest give them to you, Lord, until you make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. You have sworn it by your name. Hallelujah. And so blow a shofar in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain, says the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand.
The anointing has begun. Are we receiving that? The anointing in all the different areas, but there's an anointing for a watchman. That's what Jesus is telling us to do and to be, to watch and pray. We've heard there, God wants the watchman. And he's telling us that we can see behind the veil. In other words, we can see into the spirit realm. We can see what's coming. There's an expectation. There's an anticipation. Something good is coming. Are we sensing revival? That things are going to change in this nation? Something good is going to happen. God hasn't gone all these years and led his people to believe for something to say, oh, well, I've changed my mind. It's going to happen. But it's for us, along with the rest of the believers, to be calling it in. To be preparing ourselves to be in that place where the planks have gone, the objections have gone, and we're moving forward. You know, it's who's been out for a walk and you've said, oh, well, that's where we're going. And it's just that hilltop there. And you go, well, just go, it's just at the top of the hill. And you get to the top of the hill. Ah, that's another one. You go down and up. And that can happen several times when you're on a walk, can't it? We're nearly there. Ah, that's another one. That's a bit no. Soon and not yet. We're on the way. It's soon, but not yet. That's the word the watchman gives. To keep people alert. To keep people still focused on we are moving. It's soon, but not yet. We don't know how long it's going to be, but we've got to keep telling people, it's soon. Prepare. Get ready. Don't, we're told, wake up. Don't be silent. In some of the verses we see that the watchmen have to roar. Some we're going to look at probably next week now. The watchman has to roar like a lion to let people know what's happening. Yes. The glory of the Lord is upon you. That's what we've been asking for, isn't it? That we go out showing the glory of the Lord. The anointing is upon you. You've received it. You've become a believer, so you've received the anointing of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. We've got to ask for more if we want more of that. Yeah. It's back to what we've got here, isn't it? Are we going to say that?
I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have, and I can do what the Bible says I can do. You know, very simple sentences, but there's so much truth, they're so profound. And I don't think we've still got it yet. We're still grasping more and more. Each time we look at a new aspect, we've got to be saying those things over ourselves. It's because the Bible says. It's not because we say, or not because we like. It's because the Bible says. If God says it, it's going to happen. But, you know, everything comes through and is based on repentance. We're told to lift up our voices, call on the Lord, and He, not might, He will come. So many times in Scripture, we've got that promise from God. He will come. Well, He's with us anyway, but He'll come in greater measure, a greater might. We've got something there. We hear of the Lord coming out of Zion. With some things we've been reading, some of the Isaiah things we've been looking at as well, the previous weeks. You know, it's the Lord is coming out of Zion. Sorry. And in the Old Testament, Zion referred to the land of the Jews, or the children of Israel. They were the people of Zion, God's people. But in the New Testament, it's taken on or developed another meaning. It's talking about God's spiritual kingdom. It's talking about the church of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. So we're calling upon the Lord. The glory of the Lord is upon us. And his spiritual kingdom will come as we keep calling out. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Yeah, we've got to get hold of that. That's a promise from Jesus. It's not something hypothetical. The kingdom of heaven will be here on earth, in measure, not the full kingdom. Yeah, because we won't see the fullness till we get into heaven. But there is going to be a greater measure of the kingdom of heaven on earth. But God's wanting the watchman. Jesus wants the watchman. He's telling us to watch and pray. He's telling us to watch out what the enemy's doing. He's telling us so we know for ourselves, and what I'm going to go on to is for other people as well. But he's saying watch and pray. I'm going to ask John now in the group to come forward. Now this is something, I've done it again. I've dropped John right in it. Because I felt I got a song came in my mind to go with this one. Now I thought it was one we used to sing years and years and years ago. But up to now, nobody else seems to know it. So John and Sharon and Irene have made a valiant effort in looking at this song. So if you know it, sing gustily, please.